This recording accompanies the Language B Standard Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension for English, May 2023.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de Langue B, Niveau Moyen, Épreuve 2, Compréhension Orale d'Anglais, May 2023.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel medio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva de inglés, mayo 2023.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a teacher giving instructions to students about a school trip.
Today we are here to talk about our study trip to the UK. In this morning's meeting, we will go through the timetable, transportation, and baggage. In the afternoon, we will talk about the study program and sightseeing. So, let's get started. A bus will take us to the airport. We will leave right on time at 7:30, so make sure you get here a little earlier. When we arrive at the airport, we will go through to the departure lounge. You are then free to have breakfast, but make sure you know the departure gate and time. When we arrive in London, it's important to stay together. Even though going by taxi or train is quicker, we'll be using the underground because it's much cheaper. When we arrive at the school, do take some time to relax. After that, we will have lunch in the cafeteria with the principal. She will welcome us, show you your class timetable, and give you a map of the school to help you find your way around. Now, I'm going to hand out these notes, which tell you what you need to bring. So, in addition to your passport and your phone and phone charger, what else should you bring on your trip? Well, money is just as important. You will need to remember to bring some cash. £50 is ideal. It is best to bring 10 or 20 pound notes because 50 pound notes are not always accepted. The weather in London will be quite warm, so you won't need too many clothes. However, there is a chance it may be wet, so bring a waterproof coat with you just in case. A gift is a good way to show your thanks, so you should take something for your host family. Our local food is always a good choice, but probably not our fresh fish.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Today we are here to talk about our study trip to the UK. In this morning's meeting, we will go through the timetable, transportation, and baggage. In the afternoon, we will talk about the study program and sightseeing. So, let's get started. A bus will take us to the airport. We will leave right on time at 7:30, so make sure you get here a little earlier. When we arrive at the airport, we will go through to the departure lounge. You are then free to have breakfast, but make sure you know the departure gate and time. When we arrive in London, it's important to stay together. Even though going by taxi or train is quicker, we'll be using the underground because it's much cheaper. When we arrive at the school, do take some time to relax. After that, we will have lunch in the cafeteria with the principal. She will welcome us, show you your class timetable, and give you a map of the school to help you find your way around. Now, I'm going to hand out these notes, which tell you what you need to bring. So, in addition to your passport and your phone and phone charger, what else should you bring on your trip? Well, money is just as important. You will need to remember to bring some cash. £50 is ideal. It is best to bring 10 or 20 pound notes because 50 pound notes are not always accepted. The weather in London will be quite warm, so you won't need too many clothes. However, there is a chance it may be wet, so bring a waterproof coat with you just in case. A gift is a good way to show your thanks, so you should take something for your host family. Our local food is always a good choice, but probably not our fresh fish.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a conversation between two roommates, Nick and Yuko, about the fear of missing out, commonly known as FOMO.
Nick, what's up with you? You slept on the couch again?
Hey, Yuko. Oh, I went to a party and just came back. Guess I fell asleep here.
But I thought you had a night shift at work.
I was supposed to, but everyone was going. So I called in sick. You know what it's like.
Oh, Nick, you have to do something about your FOMO.
FO-what?
F-O-M-O, FOMO, which means fear of missing out.
What is that?
It's the kind of anxiety that you have when you think others are having more fun than you. A lot of people are affected by it. I was one of them.
Right. True, this kind of anxiety can be a big problem for some, but that's not me. I just have an active social life.
Well, do you always check your cell phone?
I like to check on my buddies and see what they're up to. Nothing wrong with that, eh?
And when they post pictures of their activities, do you wish you were there?
For sure.
So much that you'd stop what you're doing to be there to be part of the so-called fun?
Of course. I'd feel bad if I saw my friends were at dinner or play or whatever, and I wasn't there.
What if I told you I went to a local concert last night?
What? Was there one last night? Ah, I shouldn't have gone to the party.
Nick, that's exactly what FOMO does to people. You constantly compare your life with others and regret every decision that you make.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm happy with all my experiences. Let me show you these pictures. Remember these? I took them when we went skiing last weekend. It was so much fun.
Yes, but you also uploaded a picture every 20 minutes. That's the thing, Nick. You are so concerned about building a cool image that you forget to enjoy the moment.
Well,
it's okay. I was the same before. Actually, because of this fear, I started losing hair. Quite a lot, actually. Luckily, I learned how to avoid distractions through yoga.
How did that help?
I started to discover little things to appreciate. The best way to overcome FOMO is to be thankful.
Okay, I'll focus on my sleep now. Let's chat later.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Nick, what's up with you? You slept on the couch again?
Hey, Yuko. Oh, I went to a party and just came back. Guess I fell asleep here.
But I thought you had a night shift at work.
I was supposed to, but everyone was going. So I called in sick. You know what it's like.
Oh, Nick, you have to do something about your FOMO.
FO-what?
F-O-M-O, FOMO, which means fear of missing out.
What is that?
It's the kind of anxiety that you have when you think others are having more fun than you. A lot of people are affected by it. I was one of them.
Right. True, this kind of anxiety can be a big problem for some, but that's not me. I just have an active social life.
Well, do you always check your cell phone?
I like to check on my buddies and see what they're up to. Nothing wrong with that, eh?
And when they post pictures of their activities, do you wish you were there?
For sure.
So much that you'd stop what you're doing to be there to be part of the so-called fun?
Of course. I'd feel bad if I saw my friends were at dinner or play or whatever, and I wasn't there.
What if I told you I went to a local concert last night?
What? Was there one last night? Ah, I shouldn't have gone to the party.
Nick, that's exactly what FOMO does to people. You constantly compare your life with others and regret every decision that you make.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm happy with all my experiences. Let me show you these pictures. Remember these? I took them when we went skiing last weekend. It was so much fun.
Yes, but you also uploaded a picture every 20 minutes. That's the thing, Nick. You are so concerned about building a cool image that you forget to enjoy the moment.
Well,
it's okay. I was the same before. Actually, because of this fear, I started losing hair. Quite a lot, actually. Luckily, I learned how to avoid distractions through yoga.
How did that help?
I started to discover little things to appreciate. The best way to overcome FOMO is to be thankful.
Okay, I'll focus on my sleep now. Let's chat later.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions.
Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear an audio recording from a museum of immigration. In the recording, an immigrant family recounts their stories.
In this museum, you will learn about the many contributions immigrants have made to Canada. In the previous section, we looked at some tasty dishes from around the world. Now, an immigrant family will tell us their story.
My name is Chirag, and I moved to Vancouver from my hometown back in 1946. I would have made a stop in Hong Kong, but back then, immigrants who made a stopover en route to Canada wouldn't be allowed to land. Oh boy, that journey almost killed me. I was not a boat person. I don't even remember how many times I threw up on the boat. Plus, we were only given one small meal a day since the boat was short on food. What truly killed me, though, was how much I wished my parents and my wife were there with me. But in the end, I made it. At the beginning, it was difficult for me to find a job. Many people didn't want to hire me, not because of my skin color, but my different accent, even though English is my mother tongue. So I started to sell traditional food I made myself in the street, and I managed to make ends meet. After a few years, I opened a convenience store with a friend, a tiny but decent one. On top of local products, we sold spices from India. Surprisingly, it was a huge success. Finally, it was 1958 when I could sponsor my family to come here. But they didn't arrive until 2 years later. It was full of hiccups, but they made it. Then my daughter Rhea was born. She's taken our business to a whole new level. Rhea, why don't you show them our family photos and tell them our story?
Sure, Dad. This photo was taken in 1964, and I was still a baby. It was a milestone for us because my dad bought his friend's share and became the sole owner of the convenience store. For two full decades, my mom and dad worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that they could afford private French lessons for me. And I'm forever grateful for how much they've done for me. In 1985, I graduated with a degree in business administration and started to manage the store full-time. 5 years later, I took a huge risk by tearing down the convenience store and founding a supermarket instead. We're thrilled to see how fast it's grown. One thing my parents would always insist on was for me to remember our roots, so we've been visiting their hometown every year in March since I was born, no matter what. For sure, I'll continue this family tradition and never forget our family history.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
In this museum, you will learn about the many contributions immigrants have made to Canada. In the previous section, we looked at some tasty dishes from around the world. Now, an immigrant family will tell us their story.
My name is Chirag, and I moved to Vancouver from my hometown back in 1946. I would have made a stop in Hong Kong, but back then, immigrants who made a stopover en route to Canada wouldn't be allowed to land. Oh boy, that journey almost killed me. I was not a boat person. I don't even remember how many times I threw up on the boat. Plus, we were only given one small meal a day since the boat was short on food. What truly killed me, though, was how much I wished my parents and my wife were there with me. But in the end, I made it. At the beginning, it was difficult for me to find a job. Many people didn't want to hire me, not because of my skin color, but my different accent, even though English is my mother tongue. So I started to sell traditional food I made myself in the street, and I managed to make ends meet. After a few years, I opened a convenience store with a friend, a tiny but decent one. On top of local products, we sold spices from India. Surprisingly, it was a huge success. Finally, it was 1958 when I could sponsor my family to come here. But they didn't arrive until 2 years later. It was full of hiccups, but they made it. Then my daughter Rhea was born. She's taken our business to a whole new level. Rhea, why don't you show them our family photos and tell them our story?
Sure, Dad. This photo was taken in 1964, and I was still a baby. It was a milestone for us because my dad bought his friend's share and became the sole owner of the convenience store. For two full decades, my mom and dad worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that they could afford private French lessons for me. And I'm forever grateful for how much they've done for me. In 1985, I graduated with a degree in business administration and started to manage the store full-time. 5 years later, I took a huge risk by tearing down the convenience store and founding a supermarket instead. We're thrilled to see how fast it's grown. One thing my parents would always insist on was for me to remember our roots, so we've been visiting their hometown every year in March since I was born, no matter what. For sure, I'll continue this family tradition and never forget our family history.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.